Hello and welcome to episode 553 of the official EstablishTheRun.com podcast. My name is Adam Levitan, as always joined by Evan Silva. The NFL draft is officially behind us. That means we've learned a ton about how teams view these rookies, how they view their current depth chart, how rosters will look in 2023. Great time to be alive. Evan, how was your draft weekend?
It was fun. It's always just a really intense 4 days, you know? I mean, it goes on a long time that they've stretched the draft out to 3 days and then writing the draft grades right after and trying to get them out promptly because there's this window where the draft grades are somewhat relevant and like people will read them. And if you extend past that, you know, I mean, they get stale like very, very quickly. I need a nap, but it was an awesome 4 days. We learned a lot about how the direction of these teams, how these teams want to go. It's going to be fun to break it all down.
Yeah. Highly recommend everyone read Evan's draft grades. Obviously we don't know how these players are going to turn out to be in the NFL. That's not the point of draft grades. Evan is evaluating based on the process they use, the capital they used, et cetera, to make their picks, roster construction stuff, et cetera,
you see including these including like veterans that got added via trades, which I don't think any draft grade should be relevant without including those.
For sure. For sure. And you see a lot of people out there just like give everyone A's and B's. Evan's out there. Only 4 A's out of the 32 teams. He does, in fact, hate your team. Don't worry. Okay. On today's show, we're going to go team by team through each franchise in the NFC. We're going to talk about our reactions to their draft, fantasy winners and losers, real life implications, everything in between. Before we get into that, I want to remind everyone of two things. First, for my fellow best ball bros, Best Ball Mania 4 on Underdog is indeed live. $15 million prize pool. Absolutely outrageous. We've been grinding our cocks all weekend to get our rankings in a good place for the Underdog. Best Ball Mania 4. It is part of DraftKit Pro. DraftKit Pro covers best ball, dynasty, redraft. Redraft, it's $49.99. If you don't currently have DraftKit Pro, which you may have an active subscription on, be sure to check the account tab. But if you don't currently have DraftKit Pro, check that on the subscribe page. You can upload our rankings directly to Underdog to give you a good baseline to draft from on your phone if you choose to do so. Second, for my DFS grinders, USFL and golf are currently in full swing in the DFS streets. We are covering both. Head to the subscribe tab on establishrun.com for more if you're interested there. All right, Evan. NFC, Arizona, let's start with. So we talked about a little bit on Friday. Really, I thought a really strong trade by Arizona to get out of the 3 spot. They still get Paris Johnson at 6, and they add a bunch of picks, including the Texans' round 1 pick in 2024, which could be incredibly valuable. So just from an asset perspective, and by the way, this team is bad. Like, they are in full-blown rebuild mode. They need picks. They need lots of them. They need them badly, especially with Kyler Murray coming off the ACL. Evan, what did you think of Arizona's draft?
Yeah, and so not only did they get the Texans' 2024 first and third rounders, they moved back again at the top of round 2, and the Cardinals secured the Titans' third rounder in 2024. So, yeah, I mean, look, with Kyler coming off this major injury, I think that they are in a rebuild year with a new head coach and a new GM who I think he crushed this. I mean, I gave the Cardinals a B+. I think I thought about giving them an A, but I try to be like a tough grader. They still got the guy at the top of the draft that they wanted. You remember all those rumors came out about the Cardinals wanting Paris Johnson at number 3. They still dropped down a little bit, got him at number 6. He's going to bookend DJ Humphries right away and probably take over for DJ Humphries at left tackle eventually. I love the player that they got at number 41 after their second trade down in that deal with the Titans, BJ Ojulari. I thought he had a chance to go in the first round. He's a polished pass rusher who can bend the edge. Garrett Williams, cornerback out of Syracuse, is coming off a torn ACL. But again, this team isn't necessarily playing to win right away.
Yeah.
And Garrett Williams, you know, had he been healthy, would probably have gone before pick number 72. I really like what they did. I like the players that they got. And I love the way that they moved into the 2024 draft. Remember, this is a weak draft class. 2024 is probably going to be stronger. Like, I gave extra boost in the draft grades to teams that traded into 2024.
I mean, Caleb Williams is going to be, he's already minus 550 to be the number one pick off the board. Caleb Williams is going to be one of the most coveted number one picks we've seen since some of these, like, quote unquote, can't miss quarterbacks that have come out, the Arizona Cardinals now might have the number one and number two picks in that draft. I mean, if they're as bad as I think they're going to be, and the Texans are as bad as I think most people think they're going to be. From a fantasy perspective, I would just note the Cardinals did not draft a running back. So we're talking about James Conner, Keontae Ingram, Corey Clement. You know, it's the old story with James Conner. Efficiency is a problem. You know, it's not fun to watch. But as you saw over the last couple of years, James Conner can get fed. We have him 79th overall right now in our rankings. Other fantasy thing I wanted to note, DeAndre Hopkins did not get traded. I actually thought DeAndre Hopkins would get traded over draft weekend. He did not end up getting traded. I don't think that means that the door is closed on DeAndre Hopkins getting traded, but kind of more in the wait and see saga there. Atlanta. Eighth overall, they did what a lot of people thought they would do. Bijan Robinson, running back, eighth overall. They did this despite having a lot of holes on this team, despite an impressive rookie year from Tyler Allgeier. Really an impressive year from the run game as a whole with not much talent there or not much explosiveness there. I mean, last year, the Falcons were third in rush yards in the entire NFL. They were fourth in yards per carry. Now, they ran the crap out of the ball. I believe they were third worst in pass rate over expectation. I still thought Bijan was unnecessary. They're putting a lot on Ridder, though, man. And like what they're saying here is that, you know, we're not even going to kick the tires on Lamar Jackson. We're not even going to think about trading up for one of the top three quarterbacks. We're going to pass on Will Levis at eight. We're going to go with Desmond Ridder for now and see how that goes. Evan, what do you think about that decision? What do you think about the Falcons draft?
Well, it's almost like they're welcoming themselves into quarterback purgatory because I think they're going to be just enough to, you know, win 7-8 games. I mean, they were close to winning a lot more games than they did last year. Yeah. I mean, I know you even like them to win the division.
I think they'll actually be I think they'll win 9 or 10 games, yeah.
And then they're going to still have Desmond Ridder and Taylor Heineke and not be in any position to get a big-time quarterback next year. At least not in the draft. They didn't have their fifth round pick because they traded it for Bryan Edwards, which was not a good deal. They got nothing out of him. They traded a fifth round pick to go get Jeff Okuda, which I think was a worthwhile risk. But Jeff Okuda is part of their class. And they traded up to go get a guard, Syracuse. He played left tackle at Syracuse, Matthew Bergeron. Mm-hmm. But they gave up another pick to go get him. I mean, I don't think that this team was in position to, hey, let's use our first round pick on Bijan Robinson when we were a top five rushing team last year with Tyler Allgeier and CPAT. Yeah. And then not in a good enough roster position to go trade up for a guard at the top of the second round when that dude easily might have been available to them at 44. Not good enough to use their third round pick on Zach Harrison, who was like a big recruit coming out of high school and never really did a whole lot at Ohio State until his very final season. I didn't like this draft. I gave him a C-.
Well, I do think that Ridder has a chance, especially with the way they're set up here. Run game is going to be very good. Bijan's very good in the pass game. They have Drake London. They have Kyle Pitts. Like, they have some pieces for Desmond Ridder to build on. I thought he was significantly better than Marcus Mariota was last year when Ridder got in there at the end. So like, I'm not ruling out Desmond Ridder as part of like three quarterback builds in best ball and stuff. Like he at least has a chance, and you know, they could easily end out more balanced than they were last year, even though that's probably not their goal. So yeah, interesting team. I'm certainly higher on the Falcons than Evan is. I think they'll win the NFC South, and I know that's not the consensus right now. Saints are a pretty big favorite there. Carolina, and we knew what they were going to do for weeks, you know, for a couple weeks leading up to the draft. They go Bryce Young. Like, what strikes me about Carolina is they come out of this draft with effectively a whole new team, like literally a whole new offense. Bryce Young is a rookie. Miles Sanders, free agency. DJ Chark, free agency. Adam Thielen, free agency. Jonathan Mingo, they use a round two pick on, rookie. Hayden Hurst, free agency. The entire offense is new. Turning the page. You got to give them some credit for that, Evan, even though I know the DJ Moore trade has to be part of their draft capital conversation as well. What'd you think of what the Panthers did?
Yeah, I gave them a C-. And it started off, I just think they gave up so much to go get number one, and I get it. But they also traded up for a quarterback who's 5'10" and you know, will play like around 190 pounds in the NFL. I like Bryce Young. You know, I know that I think he's going to be coached well by Frank Reich. But there's not a whole lot around him in Carolina. I think the O-line can be okay. And maybe Jonathan Mingo. He was probably my favorite pick. Just based on value in this draft. But I mean, you're talking about guys like Laviska Shenault and you know, Terrace Marshall. And I mean, those are the players that they're surrounding Bryce Young with now. And so he's going to be playing with a half deck there in Carolina to start off his career. They took old guys in the third and fourth rounds. They only had five picks. They took old guys, DJ Johnson and Chandler Zavala. DJ Johnson going to be 25 as a rookie. Chandler Zavala is going to be 20. He's already 24. That's just it was a limited draft because they traded away picks for Stephon Gilmore and for Laviska Shenault and all the stuff they gave up to go get number one. I don't know. I don't think that they're particularly close. I gave him a C-.
Yeah, and we have Jonathan Mingo relatively close to Adam Thielen in the rankings. We have Jonathan Mingo, wide receiver 73, Adam Thielen, wide receiver 65. Would not surprise me at all if Mingo can climb this depth chart pretty quickly if he's as good as a lot of the Twitter stuff I saw about Jonathan Mingo was. I know a lot of the tape bros and analytic bros both like Jonathan Mingo, so we'll see how that one plays out. By the way, our rookie rankings are also updated and up on the site for anybody who has Dynasty rookie drafts coming up. Evan, you also did a show last night. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet. I believe you did a rookie draft with Amico and Leone. How was that virginity last night?
Yeah, I don't know. It's tough hanging out with the spreadsheet socialists sometimes. But, you know, sometimes you learn stuff from them. But it's just mostly you teaching them. it was fun. It was really interesting because I think it's pick like 7 in the top 12. And we did Dynasty Superflex, Superflex and tight end premium. But I think it was like pick 7 and the board just gets like wide open. Like there's a clear top 6 and then it's like pick 7. I took Rashee Rice, who we'll get to in the AFC draft grades.
Yeah.
But I mean, all of a sudden it's just, you could go any which way, like in the middle of the first round.
Yeah. That's up on YouTube now. You guys can check it out. Let's go to Chicago. So they used the 10th overall pick on a tackle, Darnell Wright. I think important to improve the offensive line. We'll get to the Steelers on the AFC show, who also I think improved the offensive line. And I do want to talk about the Roschon Johnson running back situation as well. But first, Evan, I wanted to get your take on Bears taking Darnell Wright at 10th overall.
I thought all along that they were going to go with an offensive tackle here. Even if Jalen Carter was on the board, they wound up dropping from 9 to 10, not, you know, passing on Jalen Carter and picking up a fourth round pick from the Eagles for that. Ryan Poles has done really, really well, with the exception of the Chase Claypool trade, which, I mean, still has a chance to pan out. But, I mean, them giving up the 32nd overall pick, essentially, for Chase Claypool, that doesn't look good right now. Mm-hmm. With the exception of that, I mean, I agree with almost everything that Ryan Poles has done. His trade at the top of the draft was awesome. You get DJ Moore. You get number 61 overall. You get a 2024 first rounder and a 2025 second rounder to drop from 1 to 9. And now they have the potential to have a legit quality starters at all 5 offensive line positions. Darnell Wright is going to slot in right away opposite Braxton Jones. And they've got, you know, enough good interior players that they can protect Justin Fields now. And then you've got DJ Moore and you've got Darnell Mooney and you got Claypool and you got Cole Kmet and you got Robert Tonyan as pass catchers. And I mean, all of a sudden the supporting cast looks pretty good. And then they hammered D-line in the second and third rounds, Jervon Dexter and Zach Pickens. Dexter's more of like a nose tackle. Zach Pickens more of a 3 technique. In the second round, they moved up a little bit and got Tyreek Stevenson. He's going to start opposite Jalen Johnson, who's a quality number one corner, with Kyler Gordon, who they draft in the second round, as their slot corner. So they're building up position groups. They still need more pass rush, but they are building up position groups quickly, and they've got a ton of capital still coming in the next couple of years.
Last year, it was hashtag our Lions. I was all in on the Lions and futures market, everything. It didn't quite get there. They just missed the playoffs. This year, I think Bears out of the NFC would be my favorite sleeper. I like what they've done. I think they have a pretty good team. We have Justin Fields 32nd overall in fantasy right now. Obviously, Justin Fields' rushing ability is massive, massive, massive for fantasy. I did want to talk about the running back stuff for a second here. It has not been a great offseason for Khalil Herbert. Like, I didn't think they needed to add Deontay Foreman in free agency, you know, but they did. I don't think they needed to use a fourth round pick on Roschon Johnson, but they didn't. I know there's a lot of Roschon Johnson fans out there. It just seems to me like, even though they let David Montgomery go, they don't want to hand the keys to Khalil Herbert at all. What's your sense of the Bears backfield after they took Roschon in the fourth round?
Yeah, I mean, I think that they still did need some depth. Deontay Foreman's on a cheap little 1-year, $3 million deal. I think he was an excellent pickup. And I think that Rashawn Johnson, you can argue that he was overkill, but they did need another back to come in and compete. He reminds me a lot of Jamal Williams. He's not explosive, but he's big and he's kind of crafty. He was the backup to Bijan Robinson at Texas, but mm-hmm. he can play in all three phases and he's super dependable. I don't know. I think that's a good triumvirate. Khalil Herbert, Deontay Foreman, and Roshan Johnson. I think that's a good trio.
Yeah, I do too. From a fantasy perspective, though, I don't think that it's great. And also, you're going to have Justin Fields taking a bunch of goal line carries. Obviously, yeah. The push play remains in for this year at the goal line. Dallas. So there was a lot of speculation that Dallas would take a running back at some point in this draft. The only running back they end up taking is 5'5" Deuce Vaughn in round 6. To me, a pretty big win for Tony Pollard. I mean, they added Ronald Jones. They added Deuce Vaughn. But Tony Pollard's leg sounds good. It seems like all wheels up. Now, maybe they still add a big back. You know, someone could still get hurt by Zeke or Leonard Fournette or Kareem Hunt getting added somewhere. But still think a pretty good run out for Tony Pollard so far. What did you think of the Deuce Vaughn pick? Anything else on Dallas's draft?
I did not really like their draft very much. I mean, they started off with Mazi Smith, Michigan defensive tackle, had a half sack in his entire career there. Now, I mean, that wasn't always his job to get upfield and make plays, but geez, you'd like to see a little bit more production than that. I think they got hopped for Dalton Kincaid by the Bills, and I think that that's who they were going to take at number 26, but they had to, you know, they had to go with their fallback option, and you know, you get penalized for that. They came back in the second round, got Luke Schoonmaker out of Michigan. You know, just – if they would have taken Michael Mayer or Dalton Kincaid up top, they wouldn't have had to do that. I think they reached mm-hmm. a little bit for him. They did get some credit in terms of their draft grade for getting Brandon Cooks for really a song. And then also Stephon Gilmore for the number 176 overall pick. I like those moves. So I didn't give them like a bad grade. I just gave them a C, but their individual draft, I wasn't too impressed by it.
I was a little surprised that at the back of the first round, they didn't just take Michael Mayer or Luke Musgrave or you know, whatever tight end they wanted after losing Dalton Schultz. Like you said, they come back in round 2 and take Luke Schoonmaker. Defensively, though, this team could be very good. And I think that sets up well for Pollard, too. Like, you know, Mazi Smith was a guy a lot of people that we talked to liked. I know the production wasn't there. Mazi Smith, though, round 1. And, like, the quotes from Mike McCarthy, I mean, he's like, Kellen Moore wants to light up the scoreboard. I want to run the damn ball. You know, that's what Mike McCarthy says. And so, you know, it's going to set up to play defense and use Tony Pollard a ton. We're like 4 or 5 spots ahead of Tony Pollard in ADP right now. I think people are going to catch up to us eventually. But for now, I think Tony Pollard's pretty good pick there in the middle of round 2. And you can get him there for sure. Let's go to Detroit. We talked about the Jahmyr Gibbs pick a bunch on Friday. You know, from a real life perspective, I think we'd all agree it's a pretty bad reach. From a fantasy perspective, I mean, my God, I understand David Montgomery is here, but DeAndre Swift is gone. 12th overall draft capital. Jahmyr Gibbs' skill set is so fantasy friendly, and there's not that much target competition behind Amon-Ra St. Brown, at least until Jameson Williams gets back. We're talking about Marvin Jones, Josh Reynolds. They also took Sam Laporta, a guy that Thor came on and raved about, who I think is going to be really interesting and a really good landing spot for him. Lions made a lot of picks, a lot of premium picks. What do you think of their draft?
Well, let me start off with this. So I'm doing this Dynasty startup right now, and we're in the third round. It's a super flex, no tight end premium, and we're trying to decide between Jahmyr Gibbs and Travis Etienne. There is some concern with you know, David Montgomery being in Detroit, and Jahmyr Gibbs obviously is the shiny new toy. Travis Etienne was not part of the coaching staff currently in Jacksonville was not there when they drafted Travis Etienne, and they just drafted a third round running back too. So those are the kind of the concerns that we're going over. Who'd you take, Jahmyr Gibbs or Travis Etienne?
Our dynasty rankings are updated. We have Gibbs and Etienne very close to each other, 5 spots apart. I think the draft capital alone, and also I know Jacksonville, which we'll get to, did take Tank Bigsby. So, you know, I think Gibbs, but I don't want to overreact to draft capital. But man, there's a big difference between like 12th overall for a running back and 30th overall. Like 12th overall is serious, serious, serious mm-hmm. draft capital at the running back position. So I would go Gibbs there slightly.
Yep, and that's who we went with. So, like it. Okay. Love it for fantasy. You know, in real life, obviously, we're going to have our issues with taking a 199-pound running back at number 12 overall. It's just not a great use of resources. I think that someone they wanted got taken ahead of them. You know, and they moved back.
Yeah. If they wanted to take running back, they could have just stayed and taken Bijan. That was my thing. But
Right. Anyways, they come back. They use the 18th overall pick on an off-ball linebacker. Like, you know, they got two good football players. Jahmyr Gibbs draws comparisons to Alvin Kamara, and I see it. And Jack Campbell was probably the best linebacker in the draft. Although, was he the next line that it was supposed to be between him and Drew Sanders of Arkansas to be the first off-ball linebacker drafted. And Drew Sanders went at number 67. Right. Jack Campbell went at number 18. So it doesn't look good there. I love Sam Laporta. That was a great pick. I think he's gonna start right away. I think he could actually make some noise in year one. Their next tight end on the depth chart is Brock Wright.
Yeah.
And then Brian Branch at number 45, like he's an immediate starter at slot corner or maybe even free safety for them. And he easily could have gone in the 20s. So and then they took Hendon Hooker in the third round. And I don't know. I think he was worth it at that point. Okay. Yeah. Especially because Jared Goff is a short-term guy. So I like a bunch of the players that they got. It's just there's no way that you can make a fair argument that they use the resources from a positional value standpoint, that they allocated their resources correctly.
Agreed. I just wanted to highlight really good landing spot for Sam Laporta. Sam Laporta was like the entire Iowa offense last year, one of the worst offenses in the country, but Sam Laporta was like the entire thing. And they also took Sam Laporta ahead of Michael Mayer. They took Sam Laporta ahead of Darnell Washington. They took Sam Laporta 34th overall. As Evan said, only Brock Wright and Shane Zeistra are stopping Sam Laporta from playing like every snap for the Lions this year. And so I like the landing spot a ton for Sam Laporta.
So that's why I gave the Lions a D+ instead of, you know, a D minus or an F. Cause I mean, we do like, I mean, I think they got better.
Yeah.
Better as a team.
Yeah. Okay. Green Bay. So as part of the Aaron Rodgers trade, they move up to 13th overall from 15th overall. They use that 13th overall pick on Lucas Van Ness, the edge rusher. They did go tight end, wide receiver, tight end with their next three picks. Nobody really jumped off the page, though. Luke Musgrave, Jaden Reed, Tucker Kraft. Evan, what did you think of the Packers beginning the Jordan Love era?
Well, they went pretty hard on D-line and getting weapons for Jordan Love. They must feel pretty good about their offensive line, which feels a little thin to me. But they didn't take a single offensive lineman, did they? Wow. That's really rare for the Packers. The Packers will usually at least take a couple stabs on middle round offensive linemen. They did not.
There's no room for that when you have to take Sean Clifford, though. When you have to take Sean Clifford, there's no room to take offensive linemen.
Hey, he beat out Will Levis at Penn State. I mean, I think that I like the tight end double down. And then I like the receiver that they got, Jaden Reed. He was awesome in the return game, which, you know, we've talked about with smaller receivers. You want to see him be really good with the ball in their hands, and he had three return touchdowns in college. So I really liked him. I know that JJ was really high, and JJ does a great prospect analysis. He was really high on Jaden Reed out of Michigan State. Both of the tight ends, I think, were absolutely worth their picks. We talked about Luke Musgrave potentially even going in the first round. Tucker Kraft is an awesome athlete, and he can block, and he caught 92 balls over the last two seasons. So a lot of production there. We know about Lucas Van Ness. He didn't start, but he played 50 snaps a game for Iowa. And, you know, I know in Bob McGinn's scouting reports, that he got compared by scouts to Patrick Kearney and Grant Wistrom. You know, Aaron Campman, think about him, that old Packers pass rusher. So I like their draft. They had a ton of picks. They had 4 7th-rounders, 2 6th-rounders, but they got enough early round guys that are going to be impact players. I like this draft. They gave them a B.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's crazy to think Jaden Reed can play ahead of Romeo Doubs at some point this season. Like, I know people were really excited about Romeo Doubs. I don't think the real NFL was nearly as excited about Romeo Dobbs as a lot of fantasy people were. And so we have Jaden Reed right now and Romeo Dobbs back to back in the rankings, wide receiver 75, wide receiver 76. Obviously, Christian Watson is going to be the number one there for Jordan Love. But I mean, he has Watson, Jaden Reed, Dobbs, Aaron Jones, AJ Dillon. He got two fresh tight ends. Like, Jordan Love, I think, is set up reasonably if the offensive line can stick together. Rams. As always, barely any picks early for the Rams, but this time they did have a ton of picks late. First skill player they take, Kevin, is Stenson Bennett in round four, which was early. I mean, betting market barely even had him getting drafted.
Yeah.
Ton of picks late, though, for the Rams, including Mississippi running back Zach Evans. What do you think of the Rams draft?
So I think that Stetson Bennett going in the fourth round of this draft is a testament to the weakness of the draft. 192-pound quarterback who's going to be 26 years old and has like off-field issues. I know he won a lot of games in college, you know, at Georgia. And I mean, they had the best defense in the nation like every single year. But and then that kind of speaks to the Rams approach, because the Rams, you know, they didn't have a lot of early round draft capital. And with the picks that they did have, they kept trading down to get more picks because they know that their roster needs to be replenished. But this isn't the draft to try to use the sixth and seventh round to replenish your roster, because it's a pretty thin draft. So I didn't like this draft. I gave it a D+. Steve Avila, I think, has a chance to be a good player. He could start at guard, maybe even center. Byron Young and Kobe Turner in the third round, they could both be starters for the Rams, but that's because the Rams are really thin. I mean, their roster isn't good. I don't know why they drafted Stetson Bennett. And then it's all the rest of it is all fifth and sixth and seventh round picks. I mean, I don't think they help themselves very much.
From a fantasy perspective, I do think that the Rams are at least healthier now, right? Stafford's healthy. Cooper Kupp is healthy. Van Jefferson's healthy. They don't have Allen Robinson anymore. I think Cam Akers is healthy. The Zach Evans pick I thought was interesting, but I do think Kieran Williams is going to be the third down back for this team. Cam Akers, the feature back, and Zach Evans, maybe mixing in for some base work behind Cam Akers. But yeah, I mean, it's not exciting. You know, barring Stafford and Kupp returning to their 2021 form, it's not going to be exciting, I don't think, for the Rams.
Yeah, and I wrote at the end of my draft grades that I think this can be the last year for Sean McVay and Les Snead with the Rams.
Minnesota. There were a lot of rumors leading up to the draft about the Vikings being linked to quarterback. Does not happen. I like the pick they made, Jordan Addison, at pick 23 overall to replace Adam Thielen. You know, I think it let us know maybe that they aren't ready to rely too hard on KJ Osborne. But man, Justin Jefferson, Addison, Osborne, Hockenson, that's a pretty nice pass-catching core. What did you think about the Vikings draft?
Yeah, and TJ Hockenson is part of this draft, because the Vikings wound up getting from the Lions that the 55th overall pick. I thought it was interesting that, well, we can start with Jordan Addison. I think he's going to be a solid number two. He reminds me a lot of Jahan Dotson, who had a nice little rookie year in Washington last year. He's probably a little bit more dynamic than Jahan Dotson, but I think he'll be a quality number two to Justin Jefferson, and keep KJ Osborne in that third receiver role. I think he would have been stretched as a number two. I thought that was a very fine pick at number 23 overall. And then I thought it was interesting that 1 year after drafting three big school defensive backs, he came back and drafted two more here. Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, the Vikings second-year GM, Mekhi Blackman out of USC, and then Jay Ward out of LSU. And then Jaren Hall, I think he's a better prospect than Kellen Mond, who is no longer with the team. They used a third-round pick on him in 2020 or 2021. No, 2020, and he's already with the Browns. But I think that Jaren Hall is a better prospect than him. I thought this was a fine draft, C+.
I want to talk about the running back stuff for a second here. Now, they did take Dwayne McBride in round seven, but man, they have like no cap room. Like, the Vikings have no cap space, and Dalvin Cook is set to count $13 million against the cap. He either needs to renegotiate or he's going to be gone. I have no idea where they're at in the renegotiations, but man, I just keep pounding Alexander Mattison every time it gets to me. Just, I think he's going to be fine if Dalvin somehow renegotiates and stays. And if Dalvin's gone, it's a smash. I mean, there's like no one behind Alexander Mattison they gave a bunch of money to. So we're at 102nd overall on Mattison, which is above ADP. I've been taking him even higher than that, though, just to make sure that I get him. We'll see how that works out. But yeah, we'll see what Dalvin thinks about restructuring that. Nobody's going to trade for him, I don't think, but we'll see about the restructure or just getting cut. We have Jordan Addison 88th overall, by the way, right now. And I guess I'll remove the suspense. Our number one player currently for the 2023 fantasy football season is indeed Justin Jefferson. Okay. New Orleans. I'm interested to get your thoughts on Kendre Miller, the running back they took 71st overall. They also traded Adam Trautman, which I thought was somewhat interesting at the tight end position. What did you think of the Saints draft?
Yeah, the Saints draft. Well, you know, I talked to Underhill a lot about this before, and he was like, you know, who should I put in my final mock draft to the Saints at number 29? And I put Quentin Johnson. He was like, it's going to be a defensive lineman. And he was right, and I was wrong. And they not only took a defensive lineman with their first pick, but they took him with their second pick, Isaiah Foskey, who is Notre Dame's all-time sack leader. So you know I'm going to love him. Okay. I don't know. He got criticized for not having like a great pass rush repertoire, but he had 22 sacks over the final two seasons. And they needed a speed guy opposite Cam Jordan, who turns 34 in July. Mm-hmm. Brian Breezy, he had like an up and I think he was like the nation's number one high school recruit. And he had like an up and down career at Clemson, but you know, he was dominant when he was healthy. And then Kendre Miller. Yeah, I did not watch him before the draft, but I watched him a little bit as I was doing my draft grades. And he's a fun RB to watch. He's got legit feature back size at 5'11", 215. He's like a darting runner. And he's got a lot of explosion between the tackles. And I was like, wow, this dude is good. And Alvin Kamara is facing a suspension. And I think that he declined last year. And then they've only got Jamal Williams beside him. I think Kendre Miller was actually, in terms of dynasty rankings, I don't know what his dynasty ranking was before the draft, but he was one of the bigger winners.
Yes.
Because there's a chance that he could be like maybe even the Saints lead back by 2024. Maybe even at certain points in 2023.
I don't think that there's much blocking Kendre Miller to be advancing quickly. I think Jamal Williams is just like, whatever, Alvin Kamara suspension and other issues. They didn't want to play him a ton last year. They obviously like Kendre Miller. They took Kendre Miller before Taji Spears, before Devon Achane, before Tank Bigsby. I mean, they obviously saw something in Kendre Miller and they went out and got him. The Trautman trade I thought was interesting. Kind of opens up Juwan Johnson from a fantasy perspective. Sean Payton went ahead and got his guy in Trautman. What do you think about Juwan Johnson getting left behind there?
I mean, one of the biggest low-key winners of the draft. Two tight ends stood out to me that they won from the draft as team, you know, being on teams that people thought they were going to take a tight end. They did not. The Bengals, Irv Smith, who, you know, are we going to put ourselves through that again? But yes, we will with Joe Burrow. And then Juwan Johnson, who really flashed at certain points last year. I mean, he had a lot of his production in garbage time, but man, he's a big athlete. They signed him to a decent little deal. I think it was 2 years, $12 million, I want to say. Mm-hmm. And you know, and then they didn't add any wideouts.
Yeah,
they didn't add any wideouts. So and a lot of people thought that they took A.T. Perry out of Wake Forest in the sixth round. He kind of doesn't count. But
right.
Yeah, Juwan Johnson is in a nice position with Derek Carr, like real nice.
Yep. A lot of red zone production last year for Juwan Johnson as well. Giants. I actually liked what the Giants did. And maybe I'm just like a Daboll stan and I look at everything Daboll does through rose-colored glasses. But Deontay Banks, they desperately need cornerback help in round one. James Schmitz, the center, in round two. And then I thought they got a pretty good steal. They had to trade up, I believe, to get it. But they got a pretty good steal in Jalen Hyatt in round three, who there was first-round buzz on. So I like what the Giants are doing here generally as an organization. What do you think of the Giants draft?
Yeah, I really liked it. And everybody really liked it. And apparently, because I don't look at other people's draft grades, you know, unless people like send them to me, like, yeah, but Mel Kiper gave him an A, you know. So anyways, I gave the Giants a B, which is one of the best grades in the conference. But like the Giants fans were like, everybody else gave him an A, look, you know. So, yeah. All right. Anyways, I shouldn't get into that. Shout out to Jordan Renan. I mean, he gave us Deontay Banks before the draft, basically.
Yeah.
So I had that right in my mock, which again wasn't good, but that was one of the six that I got right. And apparently Wink Martindale just loves Deonte Banks. He only had two interceptions in 30 career games, but like he checks every other box. John Michael Schmitz, I think, is a day one starter at center out of Minnesota. It was between him and Joe Tippmann to be the first center drafted. John Michael Schmitz went second, but I mean, it was real close. And then Jalin Hyde, a lot could have seen him, the Giants taking him in the first round, you know? And so I think he was a steal at number 73 overall. I think Eric Gray is kind of interesting, the RB out of Oklahoma behind Saquon Barkley, who's still on the franchise tag.
From a projection standpoint, it's going to be really hard at the receiver position. I mean, obviously they have Darren Waller, who we have with the biggest target share. After that, I mean, who knows, man? Listen to all these guys they have that I think all can play, just none of them are stars. Wandale Robinson, Isaiah Hodgins, Darius Slayton, Jalin Hyatt, Sterling Shepard, Paris Campbell, Jamison Crowder. All those guys are currently on the Giants. It is very, very hard to do a projection right now on these pass catchers, which means that a lot of them are going to slip through the cracks. If you have a take on which Giants wide receiver you think will be the best of this group, you are going to get a steal on him. I don't have a confident take on it. I thought I saw enough from Isaiah Hodgins last year for him to probably be my favorite of the group, but man, I don't have any conviction about it. Do you have any conviction, Evan, on Giants pass catchers behind Waller?
You know, I've always kind of been a Darius Slayton guy, you know, and he's one of the guys that, you know, he'll disappoint you and then he'll rope you right back in with a monster game or a monster play downfield. I don't know. It's going to be a big competition. As you mentioned, Darren Waller was included in this in their draft grade. That was a solid acquisition. They got him for a third rounder from the Raiders.
Right. That was the Kadarius Toney pick they got from the Chiefs. They used to acquire Darren Waller. Eagles. I mean, we've been saying it for years. Nobody wants to hear it, or maybe people do. I don't know. But when it comes to NFL roster construction, NFL salary cap, Howie Roseman is like so far and away better than anyone else in the entire NFL. It's like laughable. You know, they make hard decisions like moving on from veterans, you know, that the fan base loves before they run out of gas. You know, they make really good moves with manipulating the salary cap to make sure that they are always set up well. And then just the philosophy that we're going to be the best on the offensive line, we're going to be the best on the defensive line. And so they go out, they get Jalen Carter at 9, Nolan Smith, who a lot of people had them mocked at 10, Nolan Smith, they end up getting at 30. They send the round 4 pick for DeAndre Swift, who I want to spend a few minutes on here in a second. But overall, Evan, seems like every year, free agency, the draft, it's just Eagles are among the class of the league.
Yeah, I mean, and then a report came out today from Peter Schrager. Some NFL executives around the league are getting annoyed with how much praise Eagles Howie Roseman has been receiving during the draft. You know, maybe they should step their game up then. I mean, his team literally went to the Super Bowl last year. Probably, you know, would have won the Super Bowl if the refs didn't suck at the end of the game. He drafted Jalen Hurts in the second round. Mm-hmm. He stole A.J. Brown. He got a first-round pick for Carson Wentz. He built the best offensive line in the league, and the Eagles had 70 sacks last year, and they just crushed this draft. So, I mean, what do you expect? Results, process, he's got it all. He's got it all. So, you know, raise your game then.
And the A.J. Brown trade is going to lead to, like, complete regime changes in Tennessee because that was such a ripoff. The Carson Wentz is going to be, like, out of the league. He got a first-round pick for him.
Yeah, he's not even on a roster
right now.
Yeah, I don't know. You want to talk about their draft real quick? I mean, they just smoked it. They're rebuilding. If you're a college football fan, you know how good the Georgia defense has been, and they're just rebuilding the Georgia defense, adding these dudes, Jalen Carter, Tyler Steen, Nolan Smith, you know, to N'Kobe Dean and Jordan Davis, and they went out, they got DeAndre Swift for a pick in 2025. I mean, the way everything's going, like the world could be over by 2025. You know, I mean, they absolutely crushed this. Tyler Steen, I was listening to Lance Zierlein. He was talking about him. He knows about O-line. You know, his dad was an O-line coach for like 30 years in the NFL. Tyler Steen is like an immediate swing tackle who could be a starter at guard when they move Cam Jurgens into center to take over for Kelsey. And then Sidney Brown was a steal, just a ton of on-ball production at Illinois, great, great character guy. And then Kaylee Ringo, who people thought might go in the back end of the first round, they got him in the fourth round. So they crushed it. I gave him an A.
I mean, they lost a bunch of defensive pieces off the Super Bowl defense, especially in the secondary, but their defensive line and what they added in this draft, they're going to get to the quarterback a ton. I want to spend a minute on the DeAndre Swift trade here. Evan, so fourth round pick for DeAndre Swift. Obviously, people who listen know what we think about DeAndre Swift's talent. Lions used the number 34 overall pick on this kid and proceeded to not like him because he was hurt a lot. There's no doubt about that. People say he shied away from contact after the injuries. Maybe he didn't hit the hole, quote unquote, like the Lions wanted. Does not mean the kid cannot play. He still earned, despite the coaches hating him, he still earned a ton of high value touches with the Lions. Now, it's not going to be like all DeAndre Swift all the time in Philly. I think that Rashad Penny's going to play. Kenny Gainwell's going to play. Boston Scott's going to mix in. Jalen Hurts is obviously going to run a ton and run a ton around the goal line. I do think, though, that I would pencil in DeAndre Swift as my favorite of the Eagles' backs right now. We have him ranked around the 70s. That's going to be really swingy based on how we think the usage is going to go. What was your reaction to DeAndre Swift and any fantasy outlooks you think for the Eagles' backfield?
Yeah, did you see Leone correcting Norris about the high value touches that DeAndre Swift got in Detroit?
I did not. I'll have to look for that. Yeah.
Yeah, Norris struggled in the mock draft streets again this year. So. We're having him on after we're having him on again soon. We'll I'm not going to let him live that down. Okay. I think that DeAndre Swift is a running back that you want to give the ball to 8 to 12 times per game. I think the Lions actually were kind of proven right about that. He was the number 6 running back in DVOA at Football Outsiders last year. So he's super efficient. It's just he's not a bell cow. He can't hold up to that level of, you know, the hits. I mean, dude, it's hard. You know, I don't blame him. You know, I mean, there's a level of toughness and physicality you have to have to be an NFL player. But I mean, it's hard. But I think he's a change of pace back, and he can be really good in that role. And that's how they're going to use him.
Yeah. And they're going to play Kenny Gainwell and Rashad Penny plenty. We have all three of those guys ranked. And I'm not afraid to take like both Penny and Swift ahead of ADP. Like this team is going to be very, very, very efficient.
I think Gainwell is going to be an interesting pick as well.
Yeah. Eagles rival in NFC is San Francisco 49ers. I mean, I wasn't paying that close attention to round 3. I get an alert on my phone that they just took a kicker, the 49ers did, at 99 overall. Only 5 teams have taken a kicker in the first 3 rounds since the year 2000. Sebastian Janikowski to the Raiders, Nate Kading to the Chargers, Mike Nugent to the Jets, Roberto Aguayo to the Bucks, which was just an epic disaster. Now Jake Moody to the 49ers. They just didn't have a lot of picks from the Trey Lance trade-up situation. So, I don't know, kicker in round 3 I didn't love, but whatever. What'd you think of the 49ers draft, Evan?
Yeah, they were very handicapped in terms of their selections by the Trey Lance and the Christian McCaffrey trades. So McCaffrey is included in their draft grade. Mm-hmm. So is Trey Lance, though. So and that's not good. Yeah. Jair Brown, I think that they needed help at safety. And Penn State, you know, I mean, they tend to produce good athletes, and this guy is not a particularly great athlete. And I think he's mostly a box safety. Then they took the kicker, and then they took a number 2/3 caliber tight end in Cameron Latu out of Alabama. And they took a bunch of day 3 guys. You know, it's just, it wasn't a fun draft.
By the way, the Eagles to win the NFC are +330. The 49ers are +350. To me, there's a bigger gap between those two teams. Like, I get it. The 49ers are very well coached. They have a ton of good players. I don't think it's that close between the Eagles and the 49ers, even if Brock Purdy gets healthy. So that was one line that stuck out to me. I mean, to me, Eagles should be an overwhelming favorite to win the NFC.
If you had to set who's the favorite to be their starting quarterback in week 1, how would you, do percentage-wise?
Yeah, I would say...
Arnold, Lance, and Purdy.
I would say... Purdy, 65%, and then Darnold and Lance probably chopping the rest. I think it's pretty likely to be Purdy. If he's able to, they say he'll be able to throw June, July, and if he is able to do so, I think it'll be Purdy. And by the way, Lance, there's rumors out there that Trey Lance is available for trade. I don't know. You know, I think a lot of teams should be taking shots on Trey Lance if they're selling him for relatively cheap. So we'll see. Maybe Trey Lance gets moved. Seattle. So a lot of people had Jalen Carter going to Seattle at 5. They pass on him. They go with Devin Witherspoon, the cornerback, at 5. Then they come back at 20 and take Jackson Smith in Jigba. I just want to say, that like we have Geno Smith, the QB 16. I could easily see him outproducing that again. I mean, last year, Seattle was eighth in pass rate over expectation. Geno was excellent, ninth in yards per attempt, led the NFL in completion percentage. His weapons, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, Jackson Smith and Jigba, Noah Fant, Kenneth Walker, and then they take Zach Charbonnet, who's probably going to play some we'll talk about in a second here. I mean, I don't know. I think Geno set up to kind of repeat what he did last year. Maybe that's a hot take. Evan, what do you think of that? And what do you think of Seattle's draft?
I agree with you. I mean, I think that they're going to be able to score points, like, aggressively. The results are in from the Russell Wilson trade, by the way. The Seahawks wound up turning Russell Wilson into their starting left tackle, Charles Cross. Edge, Boye Mafe, who has a chance at a real breakout year this year. Defensive end, Tyreek Smith. Wide receiver, Derek Young. Those guys, we'll see. Devin Witherspoon, their number 5 overall pick. Derek Hall, their number 37 overall pick. Plus Noah Fant, Shelby Harris, and Drew Lock.
It's going to go down as one of the most, maybe the most lopsided trade in NFL history.
So Devin Witherspoon opposite Tariq Woolen. Look, they need to get, actually, they need a breakout year from Boye Mafe, and they need Derek Hall, this Auburn edge defender that they got to produce like quickly. But man, they're going to be able to cover guys in the back end with Devin Witherspoon and Tariq Woolen. That's a lot of physicality on the boundaries. I love the Jackson Smith and Jigba pick. Tyler Lockett is getting up there in age. Made all the sense in the world to me. You need 3 good receivers. They didn't really have any depth. Dwayne Eskridge hasn't really panned out into anything. Yeah. Who they drafted in the second round a few years ago. Charbonnet, I penalized them for a little bit, but you also need 2 guys capable of carrying the load in the league today. And it'll be very interesting to see how we sort through that in fantasy, because Kenneth Walker, we saw, I mean, dude is an absolute stud last year, but he wasn't super efficient on a run-to-run basis.
Yeah, it's very boom bust.
And they just used a second round pick on another running back. So
we obviously like are baking this in the back end through projections. And so, once we built in a projection for Zach Charbonnet, Kenneth Walker fell by about a round, about 10 to 12 spots. And I think that's right. We have Charbonnet checking in at 119th overall, Kenneth Walker at 34th overall. Agree with you, real life NFL is not fantasy, and the boom bust nature of the way Kenneth Walker runs, coaches don't tend to love. So maybe there's something there. Zach Charbonnet is a guy capable of being a 3-down back. The landing spot for JSN on paper for year one doesn't look great because there's so much competition. But long-term, I agree. I think it's a pretty good spot for JSN. And honestly, even in year one, like, he can still be very, very good. I think we have him ranked around 65 or 70th. Overall. But yeah, I'm actually excited about the Seahawks offense, man. Like, I don't know. I don't think there's gonna be a lot of regression there.
Oh, I left out a guy that they added in the Russell Wilson trade. They also got their 4th round pick, Anthony Bradford, LSU, 332-pound mauling guard with 34-inch arms. He could be a starter for them at guard.
Bucks here, second to last one we're gonna do. They don't take a quarterback. If I was running the Bucks and I knew I wouldn't get fired, I would be tanking for Caleb Williams. Like, I think they, if they got Caleb Williams, they could have like a good team very, very soon. They're going to go with Baker and Kyle Trask. They also didn't take any running backs in this draft. So they're going to go there right now. They have Rashad White, Chase Edmonds, Keyshawn Vaughn. But yeah, the quarterback play from the team, I'm just really worried about it.
Yeah.
What did you think of Tampa's draft?
I thought it was fine. I think that Kalijah Kancey is like an undersized gap shooter, sort of like his fellow Pittsburgh alum, Aaron Donald. I mean, obviously he's not that good, but I think he's a really good complement to Vita Vea on the inside of their defense. Cody Mauch out of North Dakota State. He's the red-haired dude with no front teeth. I think he's going to be good. He's really, really athletic. And then Yaya Diaby. I mean, they need help on the edge. I mean, they just got really old all at once, and they need like a lot of players at this point. And I don't think they're going to be good. I mean, Baker Mayfield and Kyle Trask at the top of your quarterback depth chart, that's scary. I also still don't understand why they traded away Shaq Mason to the Texans. We'll talk about that more when we get to the Texans in the AFC podcast.
Yeah, Tampa is a mess for sure. Last one we're going to do here today is the Washington Commanders. The favorite was for them to take a cornerback. They did so, Emmanuel Forbes at 16 overall. They pass on all the quarterbacks. And honestly, from what I've heard, they aren't even like looking. They're like, we're super committed to Sam Howell. We have Jacoby Brissett, but we want it to be Howell. We'll see how that battle goes in camp. first draft of the post Dan Snyder era. I know the Commanders fans are excited about that. What do you think, Evan?
Yeah, they didn't have a third round pick, or they didn't have their original third round pick because they gave it away in the Carson Wentz trade. So that hurts. Again, Carson Wentz currently out of the league. I gave him a C minus. I thought it was just an okay draft. Emmanuel Forbes, their first round pick. God, he went early for 166 pound cornerback. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, we'll see. I liked Quan Martin, their second round pick, number 47 out of Illinois. He made a ton of plays as a 36 game starter. He's like a nickel slash like that, like the Jalen Ramsey role, like that star position. Mm-hmm. I think he'll probably be a free safety in Washington. And I think that they got two potential interior line starters in Ricky Stromberg, the center from Arkansas, and the guard Braden Daniels from Utah. So I think that their picks were okay. But you know, I mean, it's not like anything that's going to blow you away. And they're entering the season with Jacoby Brissett and Sam Howell at quarterback. It's a little scary. Is this going to be Ron Rivera's final year in Washington?
Yeah. And that's what I was saying. Like, man, if I was like all in win now, and I need to save my job, it wouldn't be with Sam Howell, a fifth round. And I like Sam Howell, but if I was trying to save my job or protect, it would not be Sam Howell and Joey Brissett. Like those would not be the quarterbacks on my roster, but you know, we'll see. Riverboat Ron. All right. We've said it all on each NFC team's draft. Next up, AFC team's draft. Stay tuned for that. Be sure you are subscribed on YouTube and iTunes or anywhere you listen to podcasts. It is indeed free. There is content there that we do not put on this podcast as well. For the YouTube bros out there, be sure you check that out. For Evan, for producer Luke, I am Adam. Good luck, everybody.